This time on the Plutopia podcast, our musician friend Axon joins us to debut some new songs from his latest CD. We also discuss current events, the stress they may bring, and how music can help us cope. Axon explains how his approach to creating music has changed.
I guess one of the things that we can talk about is a little bit what's sort of changed with my process. I really become not working at it to get better, but playing at it to feel better. And that's working for me. And, you know, if you're playing music just for the joy that it gives you, proficiency just comes along for the ride. So that's been kind of my approach to that, but it made me lazy with the other, you know, the shameless self-promotion stuff. That's not going to happen on its own. You really got to do some lifting on that. So I've been out there flogging it like a Mormon with Amway.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Plutopia News Network podcast. We're here today with our singer-songwriter pal Axon, who is the Urban Cowboy, spelled H-E-R-B-A-N. And he's got a new song. He's got maybe more than one new song. And we decided that it would be a good time for him to show up and play some music. And what else? What are we going to talk about, Axon?
Well, you know, it's a new CD. And I do have, the song that I'm promoting is fairly new. I wrote it about a year and a half ago. And at the time, I thought it was kind of quaint. But recent events, the recent unpleasantness suggests that it's very timely now. And I think it's the song that young America really needs to get in their ears right now. So I put out, and the thing about it is, you know, but before the election, I was all hopped up on hopamine, and the outcome was a bit of a shock, and it took me a little while to realize, oh, I'm auguring into despair here, and I remember hearing someone say that the antidote to anxiety is activism. And I thought, well, you know, I could do something about this, you know, and I realized that, yeah, one of the best things you can do to attack depression is work. And I realized, you know, I've spent the last couple of years performing in microbrewery tap rooms, and I played a couple of them down in Chico, you know, where I used to live. And my friend Annie Cassamajor ran front of the house and just spooled the stereo mix out to a digital file and handed it to me on a thumb drive. It's been sitting around on my hard drive for the last couple of years, some of it. I decided, well, I'd get in there and edit out my originals and put them on a CD. So it just came out a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm getting some traction with it. And I just got an interview was just published in Aldora British Records, or Britain Records, with me about it, and it's starting to get some traction. So and then tomorrow night I'm playing at a showcase event where I'm a future performer, and everybody in that room is under 30, so I trust them, you know. And I'm gonna lay some of this material on them as well. So I guess one of the things that we can talk about is a little bit what's sort of changed with my process. I've really become not working at it to get better, but playing at it to feel better. And that's working for me. And, you know, if you're playing music just for the joy that it gives you, proficiency just comes along for the ride. So that's been kind of my approach to that, but it made me lazy with the other, you know, the shameless self-promotion stuff. That's not going to happen on its own. You really got to do some lifting on that. So I've been out there flogging it like a Mormon with Amway.
Yeah. Speaking as someone who spent many years in the rock and roll trenches back when I was managing bands in the Bay Area, I feel your pain for the process, because it's not easy getting all that stuff together. It looks easy to outsiders. He just played it and put out a record, and there's way more involved than just that.
It really is, and it's also, it's just, you spend all that time working on the making the record, and it's a critical process. You're hunting defects. You're looking for things that are wrong with it. And the big part of that whole conversation in production is how much it sucks. So then you turn around and say, man, this is a great record. You got to listen to this record. It's kind of an abrupt shift in perspective.
Yeah. I just recently resurrected some stuff from bands I managed in the Bay Area back in the 1980s. And it's early demos. And I thought, well, I never revisited those guys, you know, those recordings, because I thought, you know, the stuff we did in the A&M Records and Atlantic Records was really good. But it turned out the demos sounded really great. And I've resurrected them and have been kind of massaging some of them with modern day technology. So just the whole idea of creating music really does make you feel better. It's really helped me in the current atmosphere.
Well, I see John just put my SoundCloud page up on for a minute. Yeah, you can hear this album.
With the album on it. Yeah.
Well, that's where you can go and just listen to it anytime you like. No charge. It's also on Bandcamp. Axonsongs.bandcamp.com, I guess. And I'm getting some sales, and that's where Aldora Britain Records discovered it and came along. And
we should share your website too.
Yeah, that's my vanity page there. And if you go to you just go to the Axon tab, that's kind of my EPK. It's got the it's got a link to the
bank. Oh, okay.
Some shameless self-promotion and my mini bio and my long bio and all of that stuff. So
new live CD. There you go. And all you got to do is click the buy link.
or you can just.
I'll click the buy link and here I am on Bandcamp.
Well, tomorrow's the day.
I want to make sure. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, on Fridays, Bandcamp waives its share of the revenue. Mm. So if you buy the digital record off Bandcamp today, it's going to cost you $10, and I'm going to get about $8.80 of that. Whereas if you do it on Friday, I get the whole $10.
Right on.
And not that the $1.20 is going to break the bank or anything, but you know, it's a nice feature of the site. It's one of the reasons I really like Bandcamp better than any of the other, you know, DistroKid or, you know, all those other sites are all about getting you on to the one the kids are always listening to.
Spotify, yeah. Or Tidal or Apple Music or all those.
Yeah, I don't approve of those.
Yeah, I understand that Bandcamp has an option for getting a vinyl record pressed from a certain artist. I don't know if that was one that you'd looked at.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that when I got myself set up on Bandcamp. But you can get a hard copy of the CD mailed to you from me if you buy it on Bandcamp. And I'm not sure that. I mean, these are live performances in rowdy bars, so I'm not sure that the warmth of vinyl is really going to come through.
More like the warmth of the bar, the pub.
Well, it was those were actually some pretty memorable gigs. Even though those are microbrewery tap rooms, I hadn't the first one first gig down there. It was in 2023. I hadn't been to Chico. I hadn't been back to Chico in like 4 years. So a whole lot of friends and fans turned out for that gig, and they were very respectful and listened during the programming and applauded raucously at the end and all of that. So that was kind of nice. nevertheless, and I have to say, Andy did a great job with the mix. I mean, it really is good audio for a live recording. But being a live recording, there are some defects in execution, which were judiciously edited, you know, to make the release.
Well, do you want to play something?
Well, yeah, this is, I want to lead off with this song called For All. I wrote this, like I said, about a year and a half ago. I had an idea, and I think of this as my Scott Cook tune. I don't know if you know Scott Cook. He's a itinerant folk singer guy. I just heard him last week. He played here in town at Tsunami Bookstore, which is one of the top listening rooms in town and where I'm going to have a CD release event in June. And he writes these really penetrating songs, and he had written a song called Say Can You See. It was a political song, and it prompted me to start thinking about writing something political, and I took my text from the Pledge of Allegiance, and I've always had a problem with the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, I just defy you to produce a 9-year-old that can define indivisible and explain it in context. But it just seems like it's a lot of indoctrination. But it became the fulcrum for this tune, which how's the audio on that? Let me give it a little boost there. Was just a schoolboy, the teacher had us stand before class would even start with our hands over our heart, rehearsing words we couldn't understand with a lot of syllables like allegiance and indivisible, extracting this sworn oath of loyalty. It's a lot to ask of one so small. The promise offered was self-evident to see, like it was written on the wall, all about liberty and justice for all. So when we reached our majority, we took our business to the streets. We had a mission to complete. We were just questioning authority to put an end to war, hatred, poverty and more. How did we dare defy the status quo with such unmitigated gall? But the words they taught us told us all we needed to know. We were just answering the call of liberty and justice for all. Does anybody ever really know how time goes by so fast? Someone told me long ago,
nothing lasts. So now a half a century has passed since then. The pendulum has swung back where it was when we were young. Malignant forces are on the rise again, prepared to let the planet burn for the dividends they'll earn. The rage of civil disobedience. A new generation must enthrall to thwart the will of spineless, greedy men. Force them up against the wall with liberty and justice for all. Thus good fortune may befall with liberty and justice for all.
Nice.
There you go.
Very good. That gets me thinking about liberty and justice.
Yeah, a couple
of
things.
In a big way.
Short supply right now.
It seems that liberty is being redefined somewhat. Yeah, kind of, it's not really for all anymore.
It never has been.
So I guess, yeah.
Well, you know, I do a little shtick about that. The reason we have a two-party system, the reason it's always going to be a two-party system, is because we only have two orthogonal foundational principles, freedom and liberty, ever in conflict. Liberty is license, leave to do as thou wilt. Freedom is security, safety from malign acts of others, particularly those exercising their liberty. We've always had a liberty party. We've always had a freedom party. I'm a freedom man myself, but I think the liberty they were talking about in that Pledge of Allegiance was something a little more broad based. but anyway, it works as a song anyway.
There's that expression, taking liberties.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are taking liberties right now in a way that seems, as you say, malign.
Yeah, and troublesome. The justice for all thing is in the short supply, too. Well, limited supply. Depends on the person.
Yeah, it depends on your bank balance and your skin color and your wisdom tradition.
And the electric vehicle that you drive or burn or whatever. Did I say that? I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Democracy is difficult. And it's misty, and it's so much easier to just have a game show host to decide everything for you. But it's not really, it doesn't feel right. Maybe we're on the wrong game show.
Well, my favorite game show host was Groucho Marx, but I don't think we'll have him around.
Yeah, you know, if he was still alive, that would be a cool thing. He'd make a pretty good president, I think. And all you'd have to do is say the secret word, right?
You'd have good and whatever it is against it.
Nobody probably knows what we're talking about when we mention Groucho Marx.
Yeah. Go on YouTube. He's there.
geezer alert.
Yeah. What a man.
Yeah.
Well, I've been following the news quite a bit and very reluctantly. And I see that there are a lot of people who are kind of opting out of the news and just choosing not to hear the sound of the wrecking ball, I guess. And I just wonder. I wonder how this. So there's a resistance that's forming, and I wonder how this resistance will play out. You know, there are people who have been organizing protests, but those protests seem to be low to moderate octane. There are some judges who are ruling against the current administration, but the current administration appears to have decided that it doesn't really care what the judges have to say. I don't know. I guess that I'm feeling that we're in kind of a pickle here. I'm not exactly sure how we extract ourselves from the extraordinarily pickled situation we're in.
Well, I think on the judicial side, Boasberg just issued a show cause order, which is the step you take before you find in contempt. And this is where I've been waiting to see some relief come through, because nobody's going to go and put Donald Trump or Elon Musk in jail for contempt. But they're going to go after the bureaucrats who are carrying out their orders. And this is what Boasberg appears to be doing to the Department of Justice, is saying, you have to show cause or we're going to find in contempt. And at that point, someone's going to go into a cell until they comply with the order. Because, you know, it's not supposed to be punitive. It's supposed to be coercive, and you can hold out as long as you want to, but you're in a jail cell. So generally that tends to be a pretty effective method for ensuring compliance. So we'll see what happens next. I don't think the judiciary is going to surrender. Now, there's the other question of, they'll say, who's going to go and actually take someone into custody? Because the U.S. Marshal's Office is the enforcement arm of the judiciary, but it reports up through the executive branch. And we'll just see what happens there.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We're starting to see some of the weaknesses of the system, considered weaknesses if you believe that it should be a democracy, however democracy might be defined. If you accept that it's a dictatorship or an oligarchy, I guess you could say that you're seeing its strengths. I don't know. The weaknesses become strengths if you make that assumption. But I think that there is still an assumption that America, the United States of America as a country, should be seen as a democracy, even though one thing I did hear today was that external organizations that rate democracies are quite into lowering the rating, the rating as a democracy of the United States, that is no longer being perceived as a democracy.
Well, and some of our staunchest allies in the past are issuing travel warnings to people not to come to the United States because you might get detained for, you know, not picking the fly shit out of the pepper on your paperwork.
Yeah, people.
Well, and it's true. Oh, go ahead.
People that used to be our allies are now just having to say, well, you know, don't count on the United States because they're off in their own little la-la land and they're trying to form peacekeeping forces for Ukraine. And that's, of course, gotten a lot of flack back from, of course, Mr. Trump and his allies.
Yeah, this is where I think the Democrats have an opportunity if they can find the spinal integrity to do so is when European nations convene to discuss security, mutual security, what we used to call NATO. We should have some democratic leadership there to represent the rest of America that supports their ambitions, and to provide some kind of some sort of communications link between what's going on in Europe and what's going on with the non-MAGA United States of America.
Yeah, this reminds me really of past Thanksgivings with family, when the uncle you really don't want to see shows up for dinner. And that's kind of the reaction they're giving to whenever Trump shows up for negotiations.
Yeah, but you know, they'll let the fun ant in. I'm thinking, you know, that could be AOC. That could be Pelosi, you know.
Yes, she and Bernie did a big rally to try to, you know, get some of the purple crowd to join in, and they did a pretty good job. What I was able to watch today.
Well, back to John's point earlier about the low octane nature of the mass protests is, you know, the problem is we're trying to do a national protest, and it gets so granularized you don't really see the kind of crowds that you're seeing now in Georgia, not the state of Georgia, but the nation of Georgia in the Russian sphere, or in Tel Aviv. You know, Tel Aviv's been putting 250,000 people into the streets every weekend for the last year and a half, or maybe even longer. I don't know. They're really turning it out, and it's great television. It's great, you know, photojournalism to see that many people out demanding anything from their government. And we just don't have a locus where we can put that kind of a massive movement in. And I think there is some concern among some people that they're going to encounter enforcement violence if it reaches a certain threshold. I wouldn't expect that in Eugene, Oregon, and I probably wouldn't expect it in Austin, Texas, but it might happen in, you know, Indiana. It might happen in New Jersey.
Well, there are enforcement actions going on from the DOJ protecting Tesla vehicles now. It's now a terrorism issue. If you go out and you car key, if you key a Tesla or set it on fire, which I think is a little bit extreme, but you know, whatever turns you on, but where you actually have the attorney general saying you can't go out and object to these wonderful vehicles, and you have people from the government saying you should go out and buy Tesla stock.
Yeah, that's bizarre, actually. As a Secretary of Commerce promoting a particular brand of EV, it just seems like there's a conflict of interest there, at a minimum. I don't know.
Yeah, the whole thing with Tesla is interesting anyway, because they just had to recall all of their Tesla Cybertrucks, which I wasn't really surprised by, because I've been seeing videos all over the internet of their various problems. But it seems to have an impact. And John, I see, has put up the market summary, and that should be a wake-up call to the shareholders of that company.
Well, I would think so, and the board.
The shrinking number of shareholders of the company, we should say, because I think people are unloading their Tesla stock, and they're unloading their Teslas. I saw there was an artwork the other day where a guy had dropped, it was like the head of one of those indigenous, like a huge block of stone that had been carved into an indigenous figure, and he dropped it on a Tesla as a work of art.
Yeah, it was inspiring.
An interesting aesthetic. So do you have another song, sir?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this. I'm going to break this one out tomorrow night as well. This song is I wrote this 7 years, almost a little over 7 years ago, almost exactly. It was February. Well, I started it in January. I was watching the Grammys in January of 2018, and U2 did not appear at the Grammys. They appeared via satellite from some extremely forbidding landscape in somewhere in the North Sea.
And well, I thought you meant we too, and I was going to say, yeah, that's true. We weren't there.
Yeah.
U2, the band. Okay, I got
U2, the band. Yeah, Bono, The Edge, all that stuff. And they did a song called Get Out of Your Own Way, which I wasn't that impressed with the text, but I really liked the hook. And so I started fooling around with that change. And of course, and it migrated to something a little bit different, and that became the chorus. And then I sat down and I worked out all the changes for a verse and for the little fiddly bits in between. And I had that thing all nice and fully polished, and I didn't have any idea what it was going to be about. And then on February 14th was the attack on Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And I said, oh, that's what that song's about. And so this is sort of a prequel to For All, is a song called Free America. Let me get this right. They pledged their sacred honor then, the rule of law and not of men, enlightenment philosophy. Before the ink was even dried, their fortitude exemplified a nation made for you and me. A free America, blessings of liberty. A free America, peace and prosperity. Free America for all posterity, and a free America. Throughout history, some defied to thwart the founders' will and try to take us back to rule by men. Every time they tried, we stood for self-governed nationhood. Looks like we'll have to stand again. A free America, you gotta register and vote. A free America, 'cause we're all in the same boat. A free America, keep the ship of state afloat in a free America. People came, they're coming still, their dreams remaining unfulfilled. They keep coming anyway. We need them more than they need us. They've always been our secret sauce. We're still a melting pot today. A free America. Send your tired, your poor. A free America.
a lamp beside the golden door. A free America, 'cause there's always room for more in a free America. Kids are afraid to go to school, scared that some demented fool will try to shoot them if they do. Some can't afford to stay away, that lunch is all they'll eat today. Does that sound free to you? A free America, and every child is fed. And a free America, and has a place to lay her head. A free America, and shouldn't have to live in dread. In a free America. Each generation has its crisis. Each generation takes its stand. The times are calling for a children's crusade. I know that isn't what you planned. To free America, they gotta take it by the horns. A free America, this is why you were born. A free America, so you can wake up one fine morn in a free America. A free America, from her shameful legacies. Free America, with no apologies. Free America, till everyone is free in a free America.
That makes me think, Al, you know, after these school shootings, I mean, after school shootings anywhere, politicians would inherently take action to provide protections. And it's kind of telling about America that the politicians took action to provide protections for the gun companies instead of for the children.
Yeah, it's that's pathology is what that is.
Yeah, of all the people you get get out on jail free cards to, those were the least deserving.
Yeah, I have to say I have a lot of admiration for the folks in Connecticut who sued the pants off Alex Jones for his perfidy, and have been fighting for quite a while now for a simulacrum of justice for all.
I guess that's as close as you can come is through civil actions in the courts.
That's our best hit. It really is.
Damn, we're going to get everybody depressed. Do you have a happy song?
Well, let's see here. My wife asked me that question once. Don't you have any songs?
I bet she did.
Well,
you know, I will interject here. I saw a film the other day called The Rivals of Amziah King. It hadn't been released yet. We saw it at the South by Southwest Film Festival. But in the first half of this film, this character Amziah King is a beekeeper, who's kind of a, you know, he's got a community of people that he hangs out with, and they live in a small town. And the role is played by Matthew McConaughey. And these guys that he hangs out with are all players, right? They're all pickers, and they come together and they play rousing tunes. And all of the actors that they chose for those parts were guys who could play. So they were playing live in making this film. And it is a wonder to behold. It's some of the best, as far as acoustic music in a narrative film, I've never seen anything quite like it. It was very powerful. Wow. And it was, you know, it was all like uplifting stuff, really. There were no sad tunes.
Well, I could do this one. This is a this song is a this is a true story, sort of. I was working on some changes. I was playing some OG country and western, you know. And these are Jimmy Rogers changes, you know. If I get a hit with this song, I'm going to owe the estate of Jimmy Rogers a pound of weed. But I was trying to. I have a friend on Facebook named Sheridan Collins, who writes, who works as a freelance livestock management generalist on a 6,000-acre ranch down in New Mexico, and writes about it. And I was stealing little details from Sheridan's life to try and write a first-person cowboy song. But honestly, if a cow came running over to me, I'd run away. I'm not a cowboy, and that lack of authenticity really came through. So I realized this is really her song. And it wasn't overtly political, but I played this last night at my gig on the coast in Yahats. And I got to, there's a line in the last verse that they all started shouting and clapping their hands for, because well, you'll figure it out when you hear it. She's a 21st century cowgirl, not in that rodeo way. For $1.50 a day, her meals and hay, she'll ride all day and she'll sleep where she may. Her steed is a trusty four-wheeler. Her airstream's her bunkhouse today. Her GPS tells her she's home on the range where the deer and the antelope play. Now the 38 special that rides on her hip, it's no good for moose or for bear. But the rounders all know it ain't there for show, and none of them dare to find out why it's there. Such men as she needs are like hired hands. She works them hard and sends them on their way. She's a 21st century cowgirl. Yodely, yodely. A bull elk bugles, an elk harem sings, the Milky Way shimmers. She lives for these things. She'd rather sleep coyotes and snakes and some wealthy fine gentleman and all that he makes. Her life is her own, so don't you judge her. You're in no position to say, 'cause she's a 21st century cowgirl. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Now if the life that we're given is for living, and death's just the end of our trade, well then it isn't that strange that she's at home on the range. She works hard all day and she draws equal pay. She's a 21st century cowgirl in her own 19th century way. She fixes her eyes on behind the horizon, and the skies are not cloudy all day. She's a 21st century cowgirl. Ooh, oh, where the deer and the antelope play.
Have you ever played with the deer and the antelope?
I have not.
Nor I. So tell us about your guitar.
Well, this is a Cordoba Stage, and I am so incredibly happy with it. I, you know, this other one you've seen. This is a Cordoba Orchestra, and it is a fine acoustic instrument. It's got a cedar top, really nice warm tones to it, and it's a real great guitar. I really enjoy playing it, and it's a little bit different than any other guitar that's out there because the neck, it's a little narrower than a typical classical, and it's got a curved fingerboard like a steel string. And so it plays more like a steel string, but it sounds more like a piano. You know, the clear bell-like tones of the nylon strings. And I played the hell out of it for a while. And then we went to New Orleans for Jazz Fest last year. And there was a guy playing in one of those bars, and he was playing a Yamaha silent guitar, which is a solid body nylon string guitar. And I took interest in that. And then I had time to kill one day, and I went into a guitar center and was just kind of looking at what they had in there. And this guitar was hanging on the wall. And I went, what is that? And this is called the Stage. It has the same neck as my other guitar. So I can switch back and forth without having to make any kind of adjustments. And I play both of them when I play out. Basically, I do about a third of a 2-hour set standing up with this guitar, then another third sitting down with the other guitar, and then the final third standing up with this guitar. And I can just switch back and forth without any adjustment because it's the same neck, which is the most intimate part of the guitar. But this is really cool in that it has a solid mahogany body that's then been routed out with chambers so that it has a live top. And it's a spruce top with a maple veneer. So it looks really cool too. But even like when it's, I can get a little sound out of it. So I can play it pretty quietly to practice. But then I got a multi-effects pedal to plug it into, and if I want to, I can make this thing scream. I guess it plays like a Telecaster, and it's got a certain amount of that twang if I want to go into those settings and bring out that Fender Twin sound, an overdriven Fender Twin. I can do that with this guitar, which I cannot do with the other guitar without making a feedback. The other thing that's really cool about it is, in addition to the transducer under the bridge saddle, which is pretty standard in acoustic guitars, it also has body sensors, which are basically transducers that are embedded into the mahogany. And then the blend pot switches between the transducer and the body sensors. So you get just the kind of resonance that you want. And then the tone control is really different. The preamp and the pickup system were co-designed by Fishman and Cordoba just for this guitar. And the tone control typically on any other electric guitar goes from, you know, real low frequency to real high frequency, right? This goes from flat to U-shaped. So at the full down setting, it's just flat, flat response across the entire spectrum from low to high frequencies. You turn it, the more you turn it clockwise, the more that shape turns into a U, so that the bass and the treble are boosted, but the middle is suppressed, and you get whatever tone you want right off the controls on the guitar. And then, of course, you go into your effects and all of that, and you can do even more with it. But it's a really versatile and a great sounding, fun playing, and it's easy on the eyes. So yeah, I'm a Cordoba fanboy at this point. They were started, I guess, about 15, 20 years ago by some refugees from Taylor, engineers, and they design these guitars in the United States, and then they're manufactured in China, where they've got the CMC tools to really turn out fantastic build quality. So anyway, yeah, this is kind of my go-to, my daily driver now.
It's quite an improvement over some of the old guitars that I used to have to set up for our players. And invariably in sound check, you'd be saying, well, there's too much high, there's too much low. And I mean, they would just, that's all I've got. But it sounds like you have a little more control over that.
Well, I do. And I get a lot more variety of tones than I get with the acoustic. The acoustic sounds like an acoustic guitar, sounds like a really nice acoustic guitar. This can sound like a really nice acoustic guitar, but like I said, it can sound like a Telecaster. It can sound like like a Les Paul. Even though I've got nylon strings, it's putting out a signal that an effects array or an amplifier is looking for. And then, of course, it can you further modulate the audio on those devices. So it's pretty cool.
It's a classy looking guitar.
Yeah, it doesn't look like an acoustic guitar. It looks like
Not really. In fact, I didn't think it was.
No, it's a weird hybrid. You know, it's an acoustic electric.
You want to play something fancy on that?
Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah. Well, original? Can I do a cover?
Probably. I guess you probably shouldn't do a cover because we would have licensing issues. You got anything fancy that's original?
I don't know how fancy it is, but it's fun to play. This is a song I wrote. You know, I wrote a song called Between the River and the Rails. It's the bonus track on the new CD, and it's an actual studio recording that I did with Slim Novak. I don't know if you know Slim Novak is the guy who, I don't know if he invented, but he certainly holds the trademark on the fan fret guitar, where the frets are fanned out so you get a better intonation. Charlie Hunter had a kind of a Franken axe that was three bass strings and five guitar strings that was built by Slim Novak. He lives here in Eugene. He's got a studio out on the edge of town, and we recorded River and the Rails. I spent months agonizing over River and the Rails. It's a song about the proud history and troubled future of the blue collar workforce in this country. I threw out a complete set of changes. I threw out a complete set of lyrics and started over. And it was a real work of craft. And I finished it and I was happy with it. And I thought, that's great. And then I sat down and I was just fooling around on the guitar and these changes came to me. And I don't know where I've heard this hook before. I know I have, but nobody's been able to identify it for me. And I wrote it in about an hour. And I think this is the advice I wish somebody had given to me years ago before I went off the rails with booze. you know. It's called The Game of Life.
Well, you first saw her at the dance, so you certainly caught her glance. What's the worst if you took the chance? Well, she just might say no. But you asked her and she said yes. You made the right kind of moves, I guess. But it's in nothing but married bliss, and that was 20 years ago. Game of life isn't meant for watching. You don't know how much time you got, but it keeps marching. Just the cut of the cards, it's just the way the dice fall. When the dealer asks if you're in it, you better ante up, you gotta play to win it. You win nothing when you risk nothing at all. You climbed a mountain cause it was there, even though you got really scared. You thought you just might run out of air, but you reached the peak. Though you worried that you might drop, you kept going, you could not stop. When you saw the view from the top, well, you could hardly speak. The game of life isn't meant for watching. You don't know how much time you got, but it keeps marching. Just the cut of the cards, it's just the way the dice fall. When the dealer asks if you're in it, you better ante up, you gotta play to win it. You win nothing when you risk nothing at all. The challenge before you is the toughest one you face, but you don't know if you can run this race, but you can't run away. Now the demons are in your head. You keep this up and you wind up dead. What was it that brother said about one day at a time? The first step is the hardest one. The ones that follow, well, they ain't much fun. But then you'll look back on all you've done and you left that life behind. The game of life isn't meant for watching. You don't know how much time you got, but it keeps marching. Just the cut of the cards, it's just the way the dice fall. When the dealer asks if you're in it, you better ante up, you gotta play to win it. You win nothing when you risk nothing at all. You win nothing when you risk nothing at all. You win nothing when you risk nothing at all.
There you go.
Ooh, that was fantastic.
Nice.
Love that song. We are actually out of time. Can you believe it? The hour is past.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Well, like I said, you don't know how much time you got, but it keeps marching. And I think that's right. I think rhyming watching with marching, that's a win.
Okay, you won.
Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
What were you saying, Scoop?
I just said he wins the internet for the night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the internet is yours. All right. Well, thanks so much, and we'll let you know when we get this posted, and happy to hear about the new CD.
Yeah, good luck with the sales on that.
You know, it ain't about making the money, but it is, I tell you what, having merch at a show raises your profile quite a bit. So I've passed some milestone here. I now actually have merch for sale.
Yeah, it's one thing for them to show up and clap, but when they actually spend a little money on you, that's validation.
It really is. I want to hear this again. I sold one last night at the show, and I sold three last night at the show, but the last one, the guy said, is just one more, because that was the last song I played in the set, was just one more. He goes, is just one more on that? And he said, yes, it is. He goes, okay, great. So yeah, it makes you feel good to know they want to hear it again.
Well, we want to hear
it again. And I'll let everybody know who's listening to this. If you go to our website at plutopia.io, I mean, you may be listening to it through podcast software, or you may be listening to it on YouTube, but there is a page for this discussion and these songs at plutopia.io. And if you bop over there and find the Axon page, you will see a link to the Bandcamp page and links to all of Axon's stuff. So,
and more information than anyone will ever need is on my vanity site.
Right on. And by the way, I was really sorry that we couldn't make it to New Orleans with you guys. I'll bet you had a blast there.
It was a good time. I have to say, I got to see a lot of really great music. When the Stones were playing, I mean, it was a BFD, but it was the last show we saw was Bonnie Raitt closed the show on Sunday, and it was like that was really the really sealed the deal for me. I really enjoyed that a lot.
I bet that was nice.
And I started doing her latest song, Just Like That. She won a Grammy in 2023 for Song of the Year. That's the only Grammy they give out that isn't for record sales. You know, it's a songwriter's award. And she's a great songwriter. And I've started doing that. It's sung from the point of view of a woman, but I figure if John Prine can sing I Am an Old Woman, I can be Olivia Zan for 5 minutes, or at least until the gender cops show up.
There you go. Okay, well, thanks a lot, and we will talk to you soon.
Take care.
Okay, hasta thanks. La pasta.
Bye.
You can follow the Plutopia News Network at plutopia.io. On Facebook, go to @PlutopiaNews. On Twitter, it's @Plutopia. With John Lepkoski, I'm Scoop Sweeney. This is the Plutopia News Network, 20 minutes into the future.